Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 292. Chris Kalamita is with me, Kevin DeFranger, this week. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, I cannot argue. I felt like I had maybe a 24-hour bug. Things seem to be improving, so I'm pretty happy about that.
That's good. A lot of sickness going around everywhere nowadays. Ugh. So I just so hope that I'm gonna get in any way sick. It's this week and not next week when I.
What? You don't want to be sick at WrestleMania?
I don't want to be sick in California. Or in WrestleMania.
Oh, man. I remember last year, my now fiance got sick right before we left for New Orleans. So she was down and out the first 2 days we were there. The first day she felt half decent was WrestleMania. And then she finally felt okay on Monday night. So yeah, it's a bad time to get sick.
Yeah, no, you never want to get sick while you're on vacation. You'd rather be sick while you're working.
Oh, yep, make those days count differently. Well, was there anything that made you sick during Raw? that made you sick about the hype for WrestleMania?
I watched it, ended up watching it the next morning and skipping through a lot of stuff, so...
yeah, I mean, they're just really in hype mode. Like, all of the matches are determined at this juncture, so there isn't much to it. There's going to be the endless combination of matches, you know, depending upon who's all involved. You know, in what particular feuds. So, I mean, they had all the tag teams against each other, you know, minus the Usos now.
I gotta be honest, I totally skipped that match. And I even skipped, I feel bad about saying this one, but I've even skipped through the six-man tag with all the guys from the ladder match. I'm like, they always do this, like, when they have a big ladder match, just match them against each other over and over again, and I'm like... I don't want to get sick of all combinations of these guys, or, you know, so I just got a little conscientious vision there.
well, I was fine with that match. I mean, I guess it's just what they do, so it doesn't bother me to sit through it, I suppose. But I could understand getting a little bit of burnout fatigue with them. They certainly have done their best for whatever. Well, I said it was for good reasons. They've kept R-Truth out of the matches. What?
They have kept him out of everything. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he somehow gets taken out of the match entirely early.
Yeah. He, you know, he just seems to be the glue holding everything together for whatever reason. And plus, it's just weird that, you know, you've put seven people in the match. Usually they make an even number of people so that there can be even feuds. But in this case, they've really got to keep the one guy out of there. And I guess they are okay with R-Truth being on the headset all the time instead of... being in the ring.
Yeah, that's where they've had him. And when he first started with this whole thing, I thought it was kind of funny. Oh, it has so run its course right now. doing this whole crazy thing, crazy act thing. Ugh.
Oh.
I just need him off my TV again.
Yeah, he hasn't done it in a while, so I guess I can handle it to this point. But it is kind of... The problem that I've had is that Wade Barrett's looked really bad pretty much the whole time. And he didn't look that much better by getting a bullhammer on the baby faces, all the baby faces, before leaving and finally getting his title back. I mean, he's looked... Yeah. Terrible for a month and a half, and that's just not gonna cut it to get him rebuilt.
No, it's not, and ugh, I haven't won this match actually. It's just like, it's at that point, it's not bringing him up, it's bringing everyone else down to his level.
Yeah, and.
I can see that being their logic, though. He loses, loses, and loses, but he wins the big one, and so that means everything's okay. But in reality, that's just not how it works.
Right. There's just too much damage done there to make him look credible again. Because, I mean, even before they started the hype for this match, he lost a match on, I was about ready to call it Heat, main event. to R-Truth, I think that was the first match they lost, and I mean that was right after he gained the title belt again. It's just
right after he won the title, it was the loss to Sin Cara.
Sin Cara. Well, so much better than losing to R-Truth.
Oh boy, that's an accomplishment.
I mean, he's looked like a weak champion for months at this point. A set of bullhammer elbows is not going to do jack nor shit. Now, I will say, on the other hand, and the one guy that they've started to try and make up for in the ass-kicking department, because Jeremy and I complained about it last week, they have upped the Roman Reigns ass-kicking content, which was much needed considering that even with interference, he shouldn't be losing, especially when you're building him up to face someone like Brock Lesnar.
Right, yeah, the whole thing with, yeah, still being involved with the Authority, but being a, a non-factor in, essentially a non-factor in someone else's story, basically, or a sidekick in someone else's story. It was just like,
right.
I did not understand at all, and it's really, really bad for him. But you know, I like what they did last week on SmackDown with him and Mark Henry. I love the Spirits of the Barricade. That's always that's always a cool visual. And then the way he stuck up for himself on Monday in his promo. It was very good. Some of the best promo stuff he's done.
Like I said, they started to correct the wrongs that they had done, because they don't have much time. I mean, next week is the Raw before WrestleMania. So, mm-hmm. You needed to get something going for him. And, he doesn't need to be Paul Heyman. He doesn't need to carry a segment. He just needs to come out and do what he just did. Well, not just did, but what he did last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And did a really good job to set up, Brock coming next week, and the two of them finally, face-to-face in a ring together, which should be, should definitely be interesting from pretty much, all aspects, including crowd reactions.
Yeah, it'll certainly be a little bit telling, although I still think that the Raw before WrestleMania crowd is a little more regular than the Raw after WrestleMania crowd.
Very true, very true. But it's LA. It's a too cool for the room crowd. A lot of times, so It could. I mean, I do. I mean, I believe they've purposely avoided this moment until the very last, moment. They have been fearing the two of them in an arena in the same ring together, and crowd cheering Brock Lesnar. I mean, I don't think that there's much to argue about there.
And you don't really have to stretch it any way to be concerned about that. Lesnar gets cheered most of the time. Anyway. Like, he gets booed for specific things like breaking the streak. But outside of that, people mostly like him because he kind of backs up what he says.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That video last night. Oh, my. That was one of the... That was maybe the best thing that's been on Raw in a long, long time. I love that so much.
Yeah. He's very similar, honestly, on the mic to Roman Reigns, where he doesn't need a lot of time to get his point across. And it works for him. Like, again, not everyone needs to be John Cena even to be in that high level of a spot.
Right. No, they absolutely do not. And hopefully they will continue to realize that and change up this flow of Raw that has existed for over 15 years now, although I guess don't hold your breath on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've always done a very good job of ripping off kind of like an almost direct UFC build moment of him in training or him kicking ass and then the sit down part so that there's, a little bit of give and take in the whole thing. And, I guess I like it all the time in the UFC, but I'm not sure that, well, that's kind of the funny thing, is the UFC, I'm okay with it happening all the time. If that happened all the time on Raw, I'd be like, dude, why are you doing all of these sit-down promos like this? You know, it's a double standard, I feel like, that I would employ, to be completely honest with you.
I mean, it would be different, but I think they need different. I wouldn't be against trying it. No more sit down interviews, shorter interviews in the ring, people getting to their points faster.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're gonna embrace real change. It seems like things are set the way things are set for the time being. Although it will be interesting.
Right, yeah.
I listened to did you listen to PJ Black on Chris Jericho's podcast? Justin Gabriel.
I listened to the first half of it. Once he started getting into like his personal life stuff, I couldn't. I cared less. Honestly, I found it was some things he said were interesting, but overall, I found him to be a pretty boring guy, and I don't see him as that much of lost potential, to be honest.
Well, that wasn't the point that I was trying to make. The one that I think a point that he highlighted that has come. Has at least been a mention of the Divas already. Because, was it Brie? Yeah, Brie was the one that said they wished that the Divas got as much time as the Divas in NXT. And he certainly implied that the Divas weren't the only ones who wanted more of an NXT-style show at Raw. And
right. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the only that would be the only thing to me. If they have enough people, like the silent protest that we heard about is just silly. if they all start kind of hounding together to say, hey, we like that style better, it might work out better. You know, like, that to me would be the only way things would change.
Yeah, I absolutely think that it definitely might make things change, but you need your top guys who are the ones who do already get the time to, you know, rally around a movement like that. Because, oh, I hate to say it, but everyone else is replaceable.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
That is the state of the wrestling business in 2015.
Yep, and I don't know how many of them are really going to stand up.
John Cena is dating Nikki Bella. And things still have not changed for... Okay, maybe she's had two longish matches in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it still hasn't really changed.
Right. They have given them slightly more time the last 2 weeks. Like, I do feel like they've had commercial break matches the last 2 weeks. But, well, and this is the problem heading up to WrestleMania, is that the Divas get one match, and then the rest of them are either Lumberjills, or they have some type of a Divas Battle Royal type of gig.
Well, this year, I don't think the other girls are getting anything. Looks like they're just going with a straight tag.
I still would imagine that they'll have some type of role to get them on. They're going to come out with someone, or, I don't know, something of that sort. Maybe it's on the pre-show. It's exclusively right on the WWE Network Women's Battle Royal that's going to last 5 minutes. Ooh, I really need to be there. I'm not ready for 4 hours of wrestling anyway.
Yeah, they'll probably do maybe something like that. And, yeah, well, I'm sure the tag title match is going to end up on there as well. Actually, I don't know what they're going to do with the tag title match, because if is it Jimmy or Jay that's injured?
Jay.
Yeah, if Jay's not going to be able to come back in time for WrestleMania, I don't know what they're doing with the tag team championships, because they did the triple threat tag on Raw.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. Usually you go with a singles match on Raw and then the other singles match on SmackDown. That typically is your way to get around the problem, but for some reason they decided not to do that.
But yeah, that's not going to happen. Instead, on SmackDown, we're getting the six being interspecies tag match. Which I do... That is creative. I'll give them points for that.
Oh my goodness. they love El Torito, and why not? The guy is a hell of a wrestler for his size. So.
Yeah,
it sounded like, well, no one had really said how, I hadn't seen how bad Jay's injury was. They were keeping him out of this week, but I didn't really see like a final, he's definitely out for WrestleMania kind of a thing. And I don't know, it'll suck not to have them in the match. Did you think that they were going to recapture the belts, though?
I wasn't thinking that, but I don't know who the next challengers are going to be, unless they bring up Sin Cara and Kalisto Zach, which it looks like they're beginning to integrate that into the main shows. At least they've teamed up on Superstars and Main Event, which are also network exclusive shows, but could see maybe them, they'll be the next tag team they run with. Kid and Cesaro, if Kid and Cesaro retain at WrestleMania, oh boy. I just hope, man, if the new Day wins, oh boy.
I really hope that they don't win. I guess I always thought, just because they were putting it in the style of match that they were, that the Usos wouldn't regain the titles that way.
Right.
So
the New Day is just the worst act in all of wrestling. I feel safe saying that.
Yeah, I don't. No one gets it. It's a terrible thing. And, yeah, they better not win. And Los Matadores better not win. I'd be much better if they continue their ways with El Torito being a little pain in the ass. Because he's much more fun as, a target than the featured part of your act. Like, he kind of needs to be the nuisance on the outside. And right. They haven't ever presented him that way. They brought him in and they brought in Los Matadores to let him feud with Hornswoggle, essentially.
Yeah, and they're not gonna bring in any more little people, so it's like, what do you do with him?
Right. So hopefully they keep them heel, but that would take them out of being challengers for Cesaro and Kid.
Right, yeah.
Oh man. Maybe they'll bring back what's their names? I've already forgotten their names. Connor and Murphy.
No, it's not Murphy. Connor and Victor.
Victor. Maybe they'll fill out the Ascension. I was just trying to buy myself time to figure out the Ascension. Maybe the Ascension will come back so that it's a four-way dance at WrestleMania.
Oh, well, that will just make... Well, that has the pre-show just written all over it, then. I don't think that's making it to the main show.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of hope for that tag team match making it to the main show anyway, even with the Usos in it. I think that that's a tight squeeze.
And I mean, that part was unfortunate, but now it's the possibility that the Usos won't be able to make it to WrestleMania anyway. At least Jay won't, and then if they want to throw Jimmy a bone, just put him in the Battle Royal.
Yeah. They definitely need more people than they have announced for the Battle Royal, because that is a really skimpy Battle Royal at this juncture.
Yeah, I think they're going with... Mm. Last year they did 30. Ended up being 31. I think this year they're only doing 20.
Gotcha. Oh, Jesus. I don't know why I watch Ring of Honor when we're doing this show sometimes. I really don't like, what's their names? They're in the Bullet Club, the Young Bucks.
Oh, you're not a Young Bucks fan.
Not really. Their moveset's okay. I feel like the arrogance is... Like, I know that it's supposed to be in some ways an over the top arrogance, but I feel like you need to be that good to have that kind of arrogance, and I don't think they're that good.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a...
And they've been around long enough at this juncture that, they should be kings of the indies. I mean, I guess sometimes they play them like they are, but I still feel like they're a step below. Anyway, they were just doing something stupid in this match. So, now that I've completely off-tracked us. Because... I'm trying. Oh, well. Bray Wyatt continues to have to carry his segments. Is there anything wrong with waiting until WrestleMania to have Undertaker show up?
I don't think so at all. I think it special. It makes you question what shape is he in right up to the very last minute. You know, what shape is he in? What's he gonna look like? You know, all those things. So I don't believe. Yeah, I think it's absolutely fine not to have him on the show. You know, maybe he'll make an appearance on, you know, Raw, the last Raw on Monday. But at this point, just keep him shredded until WrestleMania. I think that's the best way to do it. It's not like people don't believe he's not coming, or this is some sort of scam. You know, pre April Fool's Day joke.
It does not feel like they're gonna pull the rug out from underneath us. So I'm fine with the way it ended up playing out. It makes Wyatt really have to go for it, and he's another guy that we were talking about the backstage promos. They've kind of let him really do his own thing. I mean, to me, those are backstage. Obviously, they're more set up than just a promo with Renee Young in the back, or what they did for Brock Lesnar. But it works well for him, and I'm okay with I'm more than okay with that.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, last week I think they veered too much into the, you know, the bad of Bray Wyatt, you know, speaking in riddles, giving him all this, you know, artsy fartsy dialogue that really doesn't translate to anything that, you know, builds a match that well. But this week he was back on point.
Right, and and I was happy. Just speaking of appearances. I was happy to see Sting there last evening. I guess to me, he still has something to prove in the in shape department. Undertaker, I feel like he's a man who will always be prepared. Sting, after his time in TNA, I question that. And even though he was wearing a shirt this Monday, I do feel like he has at least been working on the gun show for this matchup.
It's like I said before, he has had since November nothing to do in his life outside of his family and whatever other business adventures he has, maybe, but to get himself in shape for this match. So it will be if he's not in shape to go 15 minutes with Triple H, then, you know, pretty much make this the end of him. You know, don't bring him back again. But I think he'll be in good enough shape for, you know, to do the type of match that they need to do. I mean, I guess kind of hope, you know, that Triple H doesn't, you know, want to do a 30-minute match with Sting like Ric Flair used to do, because I don't think that would not be to the benefit of this match. But
hopefully it ends in a small package.
Yeah, you know, but you know, keeping it to about 15 minutes, I think that it would be more than okay. It could be good to grade it at that length.
I agree. It's they can have, and I guess I've been pretty consistent in saying that they can have a good, solid WWE match. And that's what we'll get.
But one thing that I am thinking of is having both Sting and Undertaker on this show, and of course Undertaker's opponent being Bray Wyatt, is I think a detriment to both of those matches is going to be the setting. An outdoor stadium on the West Coast in the late afternoon, early evening. There, it will simply not be dark outside before the show ends.
Yeah, that's that will be interesting, because we did see the Undertaker out of doors when we were down at the Citrus Bowl in Florida. But as you note, this time around, they are on the West Coast.
It is Pacific time. It will be, by the time the show ends, it will not even be 8 p.m. or just turning 8 p.m. And Reigns and Lesnar is going on last, I'm sure, so that means that none of these other matches could be any later than second to last. So they'll be in the ring about 6:45, 7 o'clock. It will surely still be daylight. Unless it's cloudy, but even then, that's not dark. That's not, dark of night.
Yeah. It's certainly, I hadn't honestly thought about that, about it being a light setting, and it will make things kind of tough to do a spooky entrance, and the fireflies will definitely have a different look to them when Bray Wyatt comes out.
I don't know, have you been seeing the reports out there about how WWE's putting out things in the trade papers about casting for this, casting for that. I think what they're gonna try to do for at least the top matches is to make up for the lack of lighting and pyro. Have lots of choreography and costumes and dancing and music and whatever else to add to the pop and circumstance.
Gotcha. They let some people have some fancy entrances. Triple H always comes up with something ridiculous. He certainly puts some thought into it. You may not like it, but he definitely puts some thought into his little King of Kings gimmick with his different fur coats and helmets and whatnot. And Cena usually puts something into it. I'm not sure what you do with Rusev. I mean, I think every guy would be happy with Alana's striptease as Rusev comes down to the ring, but I don't think we're going to get that.
Yeah, I think they'll let Lana leave her movie set to do at her first WrestleMania. Once again, just like with the Randy Orton situation back in November, I'm like, who is in charge of the scheduling for these damn movies?
I guess I did not realize why she was off. And a movie during WrestleMania
that they're producing. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense. You can wait. You own the movie studio. I'm sure there's things involved that might be out of their hands, but it's still you got to be able to make these things work around your both your and your talent's main priority.
Oh my gosh, that just makes my brain hurt, especially since they had to point out to me what was the worst thing on Raw.
I think they did it. Of course, you're talking about the quote-unquote Russian attorney and his horrible accent. Oh, man. I mean, JBL saved that and pretty much coming right out and saying that Rusev went out and hired some bad actor. I'm sure that wasn't supposed to be what the story was going to be. The guy was supposed to have a thick Russian accent and be... Maybe Putin-esque would probably possibly be the word, but not even close.
Yeah, because the segment itself, I mean, they've been building up the, you know, America versus Russia part of it for a long time. So it's not surprising that they kind of went with something like that. And Rusev went with the easy country insults. So overall, the segment wasn't bad, but that part of it just really was horrific.
Yeah, I mean, I thought both Cena and Rusev did a good job with their talking points. Absolutely, but yeah, the dinner theater guy, or they just dressed up one of their, you know, one of their writing or production staff, you know, assistants, like you're a $1 billion company. You can afford to go. I know you're in Iowa, but you know you've got to be able to afford something higher end than that.
Yeah, take a little more time out. Again, if you're the one making the schedule for Lana to be gone, take the time out to at least put an adequate replacement in there. The concept is okay. Obviously, the execution is the failure in this juncture.
I'm sure that's the last we'll see of that guy. Not much more else you need to do with Cena. You know, just videos, you know, final promos, maybe something physical. I mean, I've been kind of thinking that if he's able to take, like, a beating, with a betting to have Rusev, it would be to beat down Hulk Hogan on the last Raw before WrestleMania.
that would certainly raise everyone's ire. He's already beat up Sergeant Slaughter, hasn't he?
Yeah, he already went after Slaughter. I think he went after Duggan as well.
Yeah, I do believe so. So yeah,
to the match for Hogan, and then of course you get, because that just completes the whole Rocky IV atmosphere that they're obviously going for.
Oh man. What other? I'm trying to think of. Oh. Well, we did have, and I don't know how I skipped it since it was the beginning of the show. Oh, that good old scheming Seth Rollins.
Oh, he had me, man. I really bought it.
He really had everyone fooled, except for anyone who has watched wrestling for more than 2 years.
That whole thing was. I love the finish. I will say that the finish was great, but Seth acting like he pulled off some great ruse to. I mean, that's the way it was down anyway. Orton was expecting that. He was expecting to be attacked 5-on-1, no matter what happened. So.
Yeah, and I mean, he said as much during his promo.
Yeah,
so it was just
kind of silly the way that they did it. It's not like Orton showed any fear of taking these five guys on, at least until it happened and he grabbed. He's still Randy Orton. He never showed fear, and his character should never. Actually,
well, yeah, and it wasn't like they were exactly showing him backstage either after. Every one of the allies got picked off. They didn't show Orton back there going, "Yes, I have a better chance."
Right.
Like if it made him
look stupid, and they're pretty about not making Orton look stupid. I mean, they've made Steph look stupid this whole storyline, but they're more protective of Orton.
Yeah, well, the heel always has to show a little bit of ass, so you can look stupid from time to time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everything's come. It's all come around. I mean, and it should be a one of the better matches on the show, maybe, you know, in a weird sense, you know, when I look at the top six matches at WrestleMania, there's a very good chance the bottom two, that and the ladder match, could end up being the best matches on the show.
There is a very high possibility that that is what will happen.
that's one of the reasons I'm kind of looking forward to this show, because we haven't had a Mania like this. As I said, we made the point before. It's a stronger lineup up and down. It lacks the epic main event of years past, but up and down card, I think we haven't had a WrestleMania that went six matches deep and. Maybe a decade, nearly a decade.
Yeah, I feel like they usually start concentrating on the four main matches a little bit earlier than the later two. But yeah, they've done, even though you skip the match, they have done everything in their power to make actually in the Lana Rusev Cena match. I know that it's been a joke for a really long time and probably will continue to be, but they've tried to make the U.S. belt sound important, and they've included, even with all the silly shenanigans, I've seen more of the Intercontinental title in the last month and a half than I have for, you know, most of the rest of the year. Well, I guess that's only like 2 months, or a month and a half itself. it's probably been a year at least to me that the Intercontinental title has meant anything. At least.
Yeah, I'd go five. You know, I kind of think the last time there was a memorable Intercontinental champion.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, I don't know if the Intercontinental title, even if they give it to Daniel Bryan, will become any more important. They can make it more important with him. Like, I think that him and Cena are probably two of the only people that could bring back credibility to those belts. We'll see if that's their intent. I mean, those guys would have to win the belts, too, because Ziggler's had it enough times that to me, he's never going to be that guy that gets the IC belt over. Even when...
Right, no.
Because I feel like Jericho had it in one of his comebacks, and I don't feel like that helped it at all either.
Right, no. I think Brian could absolutely help it. I think they could do quite a bit with Brian as the Intercontinental Champion, and kind of return it to glory where it was... the wrestling title. It was the title that more times than not had the best match on the show.
Yeah. So, you know, they have done, like you said, they're building up all of these matches, and it was the last match, really, for all intents and purposes, on the show, since the ending was a beatdown. Because I was wondering about that. It seemed like they were running late. I'm like, huh. Like, I was actually caught. I was actually on time. And I was just like, huh. This doesn't quite seem like they're leaving a whole lot of leeway for this Orton and Rollins thing. And, I guess the arrival of Sting does make that a short situation.
They had no intention of giving, you know, the match away at all. And, I mean, really, for the fifth and the top match, they've let that close Raw for four straight weeks now.
Oh, well, it's because all the other top matches, they really should have, not that we've seen Rusev and Cena get physical. So, you know, I'd be fine with them restraining as they did this week from getting any more physical. And, you know, we've continued to talk about it, though, over this build-up. Triple H and Sting, really, like, even though there was some action this week from Sting, there hasn't been anything between him and Triple H, really, except for the attack at the Royal Rumble. And then, Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. You know, there are a lot of high-level matches that are one-sided. Like, they can't even be tempted to, you know, to have them interact.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably maybe going too much in that direction, but, you know, a little bit of that is great. You know, keep these guys away from each other, keep, not that many beatdowns, not that many brawls, definitely not any, tag matches, over and over again, in between guys. I mean, and you know what? This whole kind of silly thing with Orton and Rollins last few weeks, it did them from having to, cross paths as opponents.
Yeah, it did help them do that, because they certainly would have, if they had had the choice, or the chance, because right. Orton probably would have been stuck in some situation. Good luck finding a tag team partner now, pal. And then someone comes out. Of course, yeah. Inevitably. Because everybody hates the Authority.
Thankfully, they haven't had to go there. They haven't had to do Orton versus Kane or Big Show in singles matches, thankfully.
I actually suggested that on last week's Raw, or last week's audio. And I guess that's... I don't know if I guess it was still so transparent to me that I don't know. Maybe I do like the upside to it better, not having to watch those people wrestle.
Yeah, it just kind of thought about that right now. I'm like, because you know what? If they had just gone forward with Orton and Seth Rollins, they're just feuding, they're just enemies. It would have fallen right into the formula of, you get the Rollins, you gotta be Kane, you gotta be Big Show, and we've seen those matches over and over and over again. I mean, were you at WrestleMania in Miami?
No.
No, you guys weren't there? Okay.
No, we did Detroit, Orlando, Atlanta, New Orleans.
Okay. But yeah, the thing was the, I always, one thing I read from someone, because remember Orton and Kane wrestled each other at WrestleMania 28 because they had nothing else better to do with either of them. I think there was a point in the match where Kane must have had Orton in a chin lock, and someone made the comment, no one in this stadium gives a crap about this match, including the two guys in the ring.
Yeah, Orton has had better matches, and Kane has too, but all of Kane's important matches have not happened anytime recently. He's just had memorable parts recently.
Kane is absolutely on his last legs as a regular performer. I mean, there's an argument for taking him out completely at this junction. I definitely, once again, I'm very glad that we haven't had to. They've been in segments I can easily skip through, wrestling Eric Rowan and Ryback over and over again.
Poor, I don't know if I consider him poor at this point, but Eric Rowan, oh my gosh.
They've killed him off completely. They're just going to be very, I don't know what else you can do with him.
Oh, yeah, neither do I.
I mean, Ryback will at least always be Ryback, but you can pretty you can do quite a bit with Ryback. I mean, I didn't think they're going to be able to heat him back up again the way that they did, you know, late last year, but they did.
Right, and he's sustained it too. I think that he is a guy that, in some ways, is stuck with the old, oh crap, you're kind of popular. We didn't have plans for you for WrestleMania, so you get to sit this one out. Have fun.
Sit this one out. He's in the Battle Royal. For the prestigious Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy.
Yeah, I mean, you did kind of mention at the top of the show that they're only doing 20 people. And they have certainly highlighted him. The big guys always get a highlight, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, at some point during the match, I mean, you know, I don't think this is spoiling or, you know, telegraphing much. I mean, if you've been watching this long enough, you know that, you know, Mizdow was sending Miz over that top rope at some point.
Yeah, that is certainly going to happen at some juncture of the match.
And it will get a great reaction. They've done the best they could do with this thing that, you know, for really the last 6 months, which is actually surprising.
Yeah, they've drug it out about as long as it can really go. So I'll be fine with them going ahead and moving along with things. It was fun while it lasted. It's time to go fresh for both of them, really. Like, I hope that Sandow gets a chance on his own again. I don't know how he hasn't proven that he's a trooper at this juncture.
Right, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So,
but I don't know. I guess I get worried about that. I feel like they don't always give someone like that their due. It's like he's going to be stuck in the Heath Slater spot or the Axelmania spot.
Right, but the thing is, I mean, has he really improved in the ring, though? I mean, his personality has, you know, improved, you know, gone off the charts. Well, actually, he always had it, but it's really gone, you know, gone off the charts, and, you know, since this whole Mizdow thing. But does he have, like, the dynamic offense? You know, is he, you know, great at, you know, sympathetic selling? You know, have that those elements of his game, you know, been up to the point where that you know, he can be more than just a comedy figure? That the jury's still out on.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Just because they haven't really given him any ring time. Like, as much as he was a stunt double, he really has not been doing any stunting except for his own his own back bumps on the outside.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he's been... Oh, well, he's been saving his body for the, you know, for the last 6 months, so, you know, hopefully, maybe he's in the best shape of his life right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he'd need the need the time to prove one way or the other. I'm not sure. I you know, he's just been in those matches for so little time that you know, to me, there's no good way to evaluate that. I'm sure that they have a better chance to evaluate it watching more of his in-ring work at house shows and the like. So maybe that is why he's stuck there. I don't know.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. is there any other little... Oh, there was the little bit of filler to talk about, because I think we've pretty much exhausted all the WrestleMania...
Well, actually, before we...
Oh, is there
another maybe one other filler thing? NXT selling out a 4,000 seat arena in a matter of days with nothing but internet buzz over WrestleMania weekend.
Oh. I'm not surprised. I mean, the seating count here in Columbus last I saw was 2,500. So
they ended up. They actually, I think for that one, they only went 1,000 and they didn't add anything more. They probably, you know, they easily undercut themselves for that one.
Oh, okay.
This time they're not making that mistake.
Oh, see, now I saw the capacity of 2,500, so I was assuming that's how many tickets they sold. That's that's silly that they you have the room. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people
from out of town. I mean,
I don't think the rent's going to be any different whether you ask for 1,000 seats or 2,500.
Right, no. I think they absolutely undercut themselves in Columbus, but you know, obviously they've made up for it in San Jose, you know, doing 4,000, you know, and definitely, and they're, you know, supposedly they do have holds on, you know, small visitors throughout the country to begin touring in late spring.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, it's kind of crazy. To me, it's funny that all those, they tried to cultivate, and we've talked about it off and on, about the difference between NXT and the WWE main product. They tried to do it for so many years with Raw and SmackDown. And it never quite got there. At various points, they did do a good job of keeping people off of the other television shows, but it still didn't feel like there was a real rivalry or that there was a real difference between the two shows. But in this case, there certainly does seem to be two, you know, differently run shows within the same company.
Oh yeah, yeah. It absolutely is. I mean, NXT is its own brand, its own as. I mean, completely. You know, Vince McMahon, you know, Kevin Dunn, completely hands off with this show. You know, Triple H has his own production people, his own writers, his own, you know, his own everything. His own way of doing things that's more, you know, old school wrestling looking as well. But yeah, it's definitely a different, it's a completely different product than, okay, it can't be completely different, but it's done in a very different way than the main WWE product, and it's, you know, something people are reacting very well to. I mean, being able to do 4,000 people is absolutely a product of, you know, your environment and having, you know, that many 70,000 wrestling fans to you know, super serve a niche, but there's no reason they shouldn't be able to do, go to 2,000, you know, 2,500 seat arenas, you know, minor league ballparks, whatever, around the country, you know, at least, you know, once or twice a year.
Yeah, and that would be the smart thing, too, is to not oversell it, but I guarantee if they start seeing the right numbers, they will continue to keep moving around.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at this show, I have to, you know, see like the average ticket price and all that, but it appeared to me that they did it at over $150,000 gate for this show with developmental talent who. Well, let's just put it this way. Rey Mysterio is asking for $20,000 to, you know, to do matches on the indie scene. I don't know if the entire payroll for an NXT show is going to hit $20,000.
Oh man.
Although it should, you know, hopefully a good amount of the money does go into the coffers, into the pockets of the wrestlers for these shows. If they're keeping talent that's ready, you know, to go up to the main show and start making real money in NXT, so that they can have this roster to tour with, I hope that they're, you know, getting a good percentage of the ticket sales and the merchandise revenue, especially, you know, their merchandise, their individual merchandise, just to say.
Right. That was certainly something else that cracked me up of the PJ Black interview. He's like, oh, yeah, I just threw out a ridiculous number, and the promoter's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't expect to get the money, and he got it anyway. He's like, oh, awesome.
Right, I mean, there are a lot. I don't think, like, promotions, like, that have, like, a real following in their markets, a Ring of Honor, a PWG, the AIW promotion that's out of Cleveland that, you know, has a lot of the talent you used to follow in Ohio promotion.
Right.
What was that called?
Pro Wrestling Ohio or Prime Wrestling later on.
Ohio. I mean, if you've got a good following of your own talent, granted, a lot of your own talent is going to be signed by NXT, but, you know, there will always be a cycle of talent in and out. What NXT touring might hurt are these promotions that run on nostalgia, you know, pick up anyone who WWE, you know, releases and starts putting them on their shows. Yeah, the star heavy, you know, indie promotions that run more on, you know,
the name
before the show than the actual, you know, ticket sales to the wrestling show itself.
Right. Yeah, I would think that is going to be more the hard hit. The original ones, they'll still have their fans, and it's not going to be it's not going to be a problem.
Because, you know, WWE can, you know, go around and, you know, they can bring, you know, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair to these towns for a pre-show meet and greet. That's probably what they should do.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't help, it would certainly help attendance to those type of things if you were getting worried about NXT itself, but NXT seems to be doing just fine on its own.
It certainly is.
Okie doke, well, I don't care, we're over the hour mark, I don't care about the people in the front row that needed to get changed because they were in funny costumes.
Yeah, I don't really. It's not. I mean, I know. I've seen about 5 people share that story on my Facebook feed today. But I'm like, it's just not something I'm gonna get up in arms about. Yeah, they're a company that's talks about freedom of expression, and then they do this. It's like, you know, but they've always been that way. So this is not. This really isn't news to me. I mean, I don't. I mean, I feel a little bad for the people, but.
Right.
It's an odd story.
Yep. Well,
I'm sorry, everybody, if you were waiting with bated breath for our take on this story.
What does matter is that Kevin's hashtag Sippy Time Beer for the St. Pat's edition of the Stunt Granny Audio is Actual Brewing's Resistor Irish Red Ale. See the fancy bottle? Ooh.
Yes, I can see it. No one else can, but I can.
Well, that is the beer of the show. I had to do a little bit of celebrating for the holiday. My own red ale is not quite ready yet. It will be drunk this Saturday, actually.
Ooh.
So we will see how round one turns out, and round two starts promptly on Sunday.
And by next week, I will be. I'll probably partake in some of Northern California's finest microbrew. Some of Northern California's finest microbrew. So maybe I'll throw in a beer review or two when I'm back on.
Yeah, 21st Amendment is out of San Francisco. They are certainly a favored brewery in the DeFrango household. And I can't think of, but there's a boatload of them out there. I think Anderson Valley might be Northern California. Not sure exactly where. I think
actually at Levi's Stadium there is a, I think, what's the word that they use? There's a beer, not atrium. What's the word I'm for?
Beer garden.
Well, basically, there's a it's not outside, but you know, within the stadium there is an area where there's like 50 brews on tap.
Nice.
Like within the stadium.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's, you know, full bars in the main concourse. So yeah, this is and gates open at 1:30. So now, granted, it's stadium, it's, you know, California stadium prices.
Yeah.
But yeah, as part of the experience, I'm sure I'll partake in some, especially if, you know, doors are opening at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I have not ever bought a beverage at a WrestleMania. I've always bought them before and or after. And,
but they'll be pre-gaming quite a bit.
But, that's good. We just need to, know if you and Shahid will be doing live shows from WrestleMania.
Not sure if Shahid and I are even going to meet. I don't know. We have not talked about that.
Damn you all. What are we sending you on-site reporters for if you're not going to get together to do shows? we're sending you with $0 and 0 cents because we only have $18 in the Stunt Granny account at the current moment.
I don't think either of us even have the equipment. We have no idea how to sync any of this. Hey, you and Jeremy didn't want to go, so.
Yep, other financial commitments, marriage, have led me to having to skip WrestleMania this year. Yeah. That's where we're at. We'll have to figure something out in the future here. Until that point, at DeFrango 11, at CM Calamedia, at Stunt Granny. Have a good night.